Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Brian Windhorst will join us at 1040. He is not as optimistic as Mark Cuban is as far as the NBA season returning is concerned. We'll talk to Windy about his concerns in regards to that. And Jeff Passan will also join us. He's got some interesting stuff on Major League Baseball and where they're at this particular juncture. And I know that Scott Boras actually told the LA Times, like, he wants Major League Baseball to play through like December and have a neutral site World Series in California. That's basically the way he's deciding that baseball should go. Not that he necessarily has any say, but you never know. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Full cell phone coverage that you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high speed data and 2G for $45 a month. Save you half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. So, Greg Bergman, how are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little flustered at the moment, just trying to figure out this freaking thing.
Yeah, so basically, for those that don't know, we are trying our best to be able to put the show on video platforms for you. So that way you can see Greg and I have these conversations. I don't know if you'll be able to, you know, once we can figure that out, maybe we could try to get Laura on too on her phone. And then all of us can have conversations. You can just see us having the conversations. We're using Zoom. We've set up Zoom the right way, right, Greg? Our biggest problem is connecting it to the other platforms, right?
Yes, that's absolutely right. And I have a help desk ticket. I'm talking to customer support right now, and everything is almost done. I'm hoping by the end of the show we might be able to be online, maybe like the last segment.
Okay, that's fine. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get that all sorted out, and we'll put it on the different Sedano Show platforms. Obviously, my Twitter. I created a YouTube if you want to subscribe to that. It's just Sedano Show. And that way you can know when we're going to be on live. We're going to be trying to do this every day. We've gotten permission from the suits to do it that way. Boss Betty pantsuits that were cool. And we're going to try to do that. We're going to try to put it on Twitter, on YouTube, and Twitch, right? Like, that's the goal, those three. Yeah, that's the goal of those three. Greg is probably still dealing with customer service.
Yeah, anyway, someone was talking to me. I didn't hear what you said. Sorry.
Don't worry about it. Just you deal with that. I'll talk for a second. If I need you, I'll let you know. Laura, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing from home?
So far, so good. It's hard to corral little ones. Particularly an 18-month-old, the 5-year-old, I can at least throw stuff at her, and she can not literally throw stuff at her, but give her stuff to do, and she'll do it. The little guy, a little different, but we're all in this together. We're all having fun. Have you had any issues at home yet, Laura? Anything interesting that has happened that you're like, ooh, I didn't expect that to be something I was dealing with?
Well, I'm really never home, so this is the longest I've been home, and I think just dealing with family members, that's been the hardest thing for me. It's like, oh, I love you guys, but now I really have to talk to you guys and be around you guys. That's been the hardest thing for me.
Yes, that has absolutely been the hardest thing. So here's something that I noticed before we get into sports, and there's lots of sports to get into, okay? I found myself yesterday toggling between two things on television. I was flipping around, and, you know, I watched Scott Van Pelt SportsCenter for a little while. And then I was like, you know what? I wonder what some of the league channels are doing today. And I found myself watching the NHL Network because I used to like hockey in the 90s. And I was watching the 1996 Stanley Cup Finals. And it was just fun, like, just to watch. And the fact that ESPN had the games and Gary Thorne was so awesome at calling games. Like, I found myself just kind of mesmerized watching old hockey for a little while. And then my wife was making fun of me, even though she was interested. But the one thing that kept my wife interested in watching hockey is, you know, around the rink when you watch a hockey match or hockey game, you know, they have advertisements around the rink. And I noticed how many of them no longer exist from 1996. Like Blockbuster Video clearly doesn't exist anymore. So we were just kind of laughing about stuff like that. But yeah, so many of those businesses that were up there at one point or another. Bud Ice was another one. Remember Bud Ice? Like those are the things that stood out to me as I was watching that. And then I found myself going into a rabbit hole of HGTV because my dirty secret obsession is real estate shows. And I found some a show called The Unsellable Properties. And I was all in on that, just watching that. And then House Hunters, because House Hunters is easy and you could just fall asleep to it. And though I am always I always find it pretty hilarious how on House Hunters, you know, there's always like the one couple that just is always impossible to deal with. And I feel terrible for the realtor. But anyway, I went down that rabbit hole yesterday. Old hockey from the 90s and real estate shows. This is where we're at. So anyway, to sports now. A couple of things happen here since we've been off the air. Steve Ballmer paid $400 million for the Forum. Now, Greg Bergman, are you there?
I am. And that's now, it's very disappointing.
You were not happy about that when the news came out a couple weeks ago. We were on the air. You thought the building would go for over $1 billion. And I'm like, no, I thought it was about closer to 500. We both went over by Price is Right rules, so we both lose. But 400 clearly closer to 500 than a billion.
Yeah, I mean, in my mind as a fan, $2 billion for the Forum, that makes total sense in my brain. I'm not sure why that was a problem. But yeah, I mean, Steve Ballmer paying $400 million, that's, first of all, A, I don't like the fact that he owns the Forum now, and B, $400 million is walk-around money from him. He actually just opens up his wallet and is like, oh, yeah, here you go. You want that in cash? It's ridiculous.
He really can walk around in cash if he wanted, though it would be pretty badass if he did that in cash. I remember I told you the story. I don't know how accurate it is, but I've told you the story that it's an urban legend. I don't know how accurate it is. So aggregators, do not aggregate me. You know, I don't know how real this is. It was told to me like third hand, but that when they were trying to sign Kevin Durant, you know, remember during the summer of 2016, that they, he wanted to bring, allegedly, he wanted to bring the money that would have been the full max that they could offer him in cash to show him. So I don't know how accurate that is. And again, it was third hand. So please don't aggregate me because I don't need the grief from my good friend Dennis Rogers and the Clippers about the veracity of this particular claim. I just know I've heard it third hand. And you know what? It's a great story, and I really hope it's true. Hope it's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want for anything, right? Like, I want to be able to one day walk up and buy a car and just open up a suitcase full of cash or, like, a house or whatever it happens to be. So if he wanted that, that's the best way to go about it. That really shows, you know, like, you're serious. Bring me a duffel bag full of money that I can look at.
Let me ask you this, because that's an urban legend, obviously.
Of course.
What's the greatest urban legend in sports that you wish was true?
Greatest urban legend. I don't know if it's true or not, but the only one that comes to my mind is that Michael Jordan had to leave baseball for gambling for 2 years.
Right. You want that one to be true.
I mean, sure. Because it makes sense. Why else are you going to go try baseball and swing and miss at pitches for 2 full years? So, yeah, I do want that to be true.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem weird that happened, right? Like,
right.
You know?
You're in the middle of 3 straight championships. Like, come on.
Right. And then all of a sudden you chill.
What's yours? What do you want?
Man. I mean, there's a bunch of good ones. Like, you know, it was alleged that Tony Braxton broke up the Dallas Mavericks of Jason Kidd, Jim Jackson, and Jamal Mashburn, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
There was, let me see. There was stuff that Super Bowl III, the Joe Namath one, was fixed. The Kurt Schilling bloody sock was fake. I want that one to be real.
Yeah, that one. That one's good. I'm a fan.
I want that one to be real. I want the Kurt Schilling. As a Yankee fan, I want the Kurt Schilling bloody sock was real. Now, Chris Morales just texted me. He says his dad got killed. That's why he played baseball. That was what he said. That the reason he wanted to play baseball is because that's because his dad wanted. But the urban legend was that he was suspended for gambling.
Right, and, which I believe.
Right. And there are a lot of people that believe that. I also want to believe the Nick Frozen envelope story, speaking of the NBA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a, I believe that one. I want to believe that one, too, because there's no way that the Knicks should have gotten that. I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, the Golden State Warriors that year had, like, the second or worst record, and they ended up with the eighth pick in the lottery or something like that. Like, it was like, what? Like, how did that happen?
Right.
How did you go from, like... One of the top two or three records to, another one, Will Chamberlain, 20,000.
Oh, yeah. Well, that one I absolutely believe.
You believe it?
Yeah, of course. I absolutely believe that he would go, like, it was all day long with multiple people, and he would go play basketball, and then when it was over, he would start all up again. I mean, that's kind of just seems like something that Wilt would do.
I mean, you got that kind of life. You can pull it off. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean,
I'm going to put this up on Twitter. What sports urban legend do you wish?
So there's this one. There's the back. I'm looking them up right now. Back to the Future 2 predicted the results of the 1997 World Series.
Yeah. It was Miami beats Chicago. Right. The Cubs.
Right. let's see. Brett Favre. And oh, nope. That one, I believe.
Nope. Don't want to talk about that one.
Nope. Move it on. Just reading and not reading ahead of time.
Yeah. Let's not talk about the Brett Favre one. All right. So I'm putting it up on Twitter. Which sports urban legend do you wish was true? Because the audience is always really good at this stuff at helping us out.
There's this the one that the Bobby Thompson home run heard around the world was that he knew what was coming, and there was a sign stealing thing.
Right.
With what's happening right now with the Astros, I believe that.
Yeah.
Because it was a Giants thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you can send them in. At Twitter, at Sedano ESPN. If you want to call in, Laura's there to take your calls at 877-710-ESPN. But you kind of got me thinking when we were talking about this to kind of start the show, the whole kind of, you know, Ballmer thing, and I ended up talking about that story. All right, the other things going on in sports today. So Tom Brady officially became a Tampa Bay Buck. But before we get to Tom Brady, Terry Bradshaw, Laura, if you have that sound, was on Get Up. And he's like, he was trashing Brady before, basically saying at 43, I don't know what he's doing. Is he crazy? Why would he leave New England? Here's what Bradshaw said on Get Up.
Well, I can certainly understand getting away from something that I think is obvious now is that the pressure that Belichick probably puts on his football team and the pressure that Brady puts on himself to excel, the two of those finally collide. I happen to believe that working for Bill Belichick would have been a great honor. But when you're through because I think that's exhausting. That kind of commitment to excellence is exhausting. It's mentally exhausting. So perhaps Tom wants to get out from under that kind of pressure and be free and go down to Florida in the warm weather and show the world how great he is, you know, how great he really is without Belichick. I know Belichick can win without Brady. I don't know that Brady can win without Belichick.
I mean, do we know Belichick can win without Brady? Now, you know how I feel about this, Bergman. I do think that it's going to be a lot like well, you weren't here that day. Actually, you were off that day. It was Raj. And I was talking about how I believe it's going to be kind of like Kobe and Shaq in some ways, where I think Tom is Shaq in this scenario and Belichick is Kobe because a coach has a longer shelf life than a quarterback. So I think in the short term, Tom will have a higher ceiling to win. And in the long term, Belichick will have the higher ceiling to win, much like Shaq and Kobe, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I actually agree with Bradshaw there, and it's the opposite way. we've already seen what the Patriots can do with a different quarterback that's not Tom Brady. So, and like he said, I mean, you're going to a whole new situation. You're going to the Bucs. They have some weapons there, but I mean, he's not tossing the ball all deep down the field to Mike Evans right now. You know, I think Belichick with just another quarterback that can get the ball down the field, get him to the receivers, is going to be, as long as their offensive line is good, their defense is usually pretty good, I think they have a higher shelf life.
I do think that they, I mean, I think they have a higher shelf life, but what I would say to you is this. I just think that Brady and the Bucs are going to be really good, I think, next year. and I think as Bruce Arians, people underrate how good Bruce Arians is as a coach. Like, he's really awesome, particularly working with quarterbacks.
Right. I mean, but I just feel like Brady at 43, while he's still obviously a good quarterback since he won Super Bowl 2 years ago, it really wasn't on his back either. It's just his skills have seemed to diminish. He just doesn't have – Mike Evans is a deep threat, and I don't know if Brady can get him the ball that deep with consistency.
Well, we'll have to find – we'll clearly find out if that's the case. Yeah. But we got a lot of suggestions already on Twitter. You can go to my Twitter at Sedano. What sports urban legend do you wish was true? I'll give some of the answers that people are sending us on the other side. Plus, I do want to explore the Ballmer thing a little further because I do feel like this is a good day for some in LA and a pretty brutal day for others in LA, just based on how this is going. And speaking of brutal, some really terrible news out of the NBA, and we'll get to that as well. Don't forget, Brian Windhorst is going to join us at 11:40. Jeff Passan will talk Major League Baseball with us as they're dealing with an interesting situation when it comes to the coronavirus as well. So we'll have that. We'll have an update on Cam Newton all coming up. So stick around. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Also time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Great suggestions by you guys on what sports urban legend do you wish was true. We've got a lot of them coming in. 1985, the Mets signed Sid Finch, a Tibetan English orphan who threw 170 miles per hour and played barefoot. That's silly. That's from a movie. Will Chamberlain having relations with 30,000 women. It's actually 20,000. The Jeter gift basket is being suggested.
I believe that. You believe that, right?
Oh, I believe that. Yeah.
That absolutely happens. There is a gift basket there and people just love it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I believe that.
100% true.
I believe that. Even if it's not true, I'm still believing it. Here's one from Starfish and Coffee. It says the mound at Dodger Stadium is still 6 inches higher than the rest of baseball mounds. It never adjusted after the 1968 season, and that's why Dodgers pitchers are so good. Do you buy that, Dodger boy?
No, absolutely not. I don't want them to have any type of extra advantage. No, I mean, because there's pitchers' parks and base and hitters' parks, and Dodger Stadium is a pitcher's park, just like Petco Park down in San Diego. No, I don't believe that one.
Tommy Christensen says the Jordan flu game was actually him being hung over.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I can. Do you totally buy that? See that, huh? I mean, I can see it. Well, no, but it could be both, right? It could be he was out partying and he was just a little sick, and then all of a sudden he got really sick because his immune system got compromised because he was drinking.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, it could be a little bit of both, but sure, why not? I like the Babe Ruth called shot one. That one. Do you believe that one?
Oh, yeah. I want to believe that because it's just kind of like movie-esque, you know what I mean?
Right. It's an urban legend. It's like, you know, you just want that to be something that happened, and then he did go right to that spot. Sure.
Now, someone sent in that Wade Boggs used to drink 107 beers before games, and it's actually not. According to this legend, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs once downed 64 Miller Lights on a cross-country plane trip.
Oh, yeah. I've actually heard that one before. There's a show I'm with Charlie Day and Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where they did something like that, where they tried to do the bogs and he had to get drunk and then go hit a baseball. And they actually did it. But that one, why not? That's just a fun one, too. He's totally fine. I can believe it.
Yeah.
You don't?
I believe it. Yeah. I mean, some guys can just down beers. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, it's like, you know, what's his face? What's the hot dog eating guy? Not Kobayashi, the other guy, Joey Chestnut, right?
No, like, Joey Chestnut. Yep.
I mean, that guy looks, he's thinner than you and me, and he can down like 60 or 70 hot dogs. So, like, what's to say someone can't drink 64 beers?
Yeah. I mean, there, what about this one? I'm seeing Sonny Liston takes a dive against Muhammad Ali.
Oh, yeah. That was one that people always talk about. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I mean, boxing is one of those things where people, you know, take dives. But, I mean, Muhammad Ali, come on now.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So do you want to do the sad thing first or do you want to do the Clippers-Lakers thing first? The sad thing out of the way?
Yeah, let's get the sad thing out of the way.
Okay.
Because it is extremely sad.
Sad news out of the NBA is that Karl Anthony Towns' mom is in a coma because of coronavirus. And Laura, we have the audio. If you can play them both back to back of Karl Anthony Towns on Instagram, it's just really, really just sad stuff. And I hope him and his family get through this and obviously his mom. But let's hear from Karl Anthony Towns.
The severity of this disease is real. This disease needs to not be taken lightly. Please protect your families, your loved ones, friends, yourself. Practice social distancing. Please don't be in places with a lot of people. Just hide your chances of getting this disease. And this disease is not. It's deadly. It's deadly. We're going to keep fighting on my side, me and my family. We're going to keep fighting this. We're going to beat it. We're going to win. I hope my story helps. I hope my story gives you the correct information. Send my love to all your families. I'm praying for every single one of you guys. Keep everyone in my thoughts and my prayers. And life may keep throwing punches at me, but I'm going to keep getting back up. And I ain't going to quit at any time, and neither will my whole family.
Yeah, I mean, just obviously terrible. But it's just another reason for you to take this very seriously. Now, I think, as I mentioned before, I do feel like people here in Southern California particularly are taking this very seriously. And I applaud you guys for doing that. But just another example, Greg, of how real this thing is.
Yeah, the social distancing thing is very, very important. And I sent you a story yesterday, but it was somewhere else. I think it was in Florida or somewhere else where it might have been Italy, where people were having coronavirus parties where people were like, oh, I'm
ridiculous.
Just
yes.
It's just absolutely insane. And the fact of the matter is that we've talked about it 100 times, but it's not about you and about whether you are going to get sick or not. It's the fact that you're going to get so many other people sick. And that's the biggest issue about them all. So I'm sorry. But please, everybody, just stay inside. Just be smart. We can flatten the curve if we just stay inside.
Yeah. So just stay inside. Exactly. Stay inside. That's the deal. Just listen to the health professionals. That's all we say. And just really just listen to those people and the CDC and the WHO and whatnot. So listen to all of them. Before we get to Lakers and Clippers, Jorge Briones, the producer, board operator for the morning show, sent me a funny text when we were talking about Ballmer in the first segment. Crazy thought. Ballmer bought a building for roughly the same price the Angels got for Mike Trout.
Oh, God, I didn't even think about that. Wow. It is basically the same amount of money.
That's crazy, huh? All your memories are the same price as Mike Trout.
Unbelievable. The amount of money that goes into baseball is just insane. I mean, again, it's over what? He got it over 13 years. Ballmer has it forever?
Yeah.
So
Ballmer's worth $58 billion last I checked.
Yeah. Like, if you're, why don't you just ask for more money and just be like, look, if you really want give me $1 billion.
Well, see if he does it. No, you can't just do it that way. I mean, you could, but you're not going to necessarily get it because at the end of the day, there are comps to real estate. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like it's not like you know, all of a sudden you can ask him, I want $2 billion. You know what I mean? Like, and people are going to be like, what? He's going to be like, no, then fine. I'm still going to build my building. Go ahead. Go. I will bury you in legal fees. You know, go ahead.
Sure, but I mean, like, there's no harm in asking for more money than just the $400 million. I mean, and he probably did and went back and forth and got the $400 million. But
right.
God, it just seems like for Ballmer, it's just nothing, absolutely nothing for him.
It really is. It's nothing. All right, let's go to Will in Gardena, who's got a sports urban legend he wishes was true.
Fellas, first off, it's Manuel and Gardena.
Sorry.
Greg Bergman. No worries, man. Greg Bergman is the man, has been since Jay Moore Sports. Big props. Sedano, you won me over, man. I think this is your new spot. I'm liking your vibe in the morning much better than I did, you know, before. But, hey, I got to co-sign yours, man. To me, the urban legend that has always caught my mind is the New York Knicks frozen envelope. And I swear to you, I thought that last year they were going to pull that thing again, which they should, man, because the NBA needs the Knicks, man. I mean, I'm a Laker fan, and I would love to see, you know, I remember the days when Riles and Van Gundy had the Knicks going, and I liked it, man. That's all I got, fellas. Keep up the good work.
Yep, I appreciate it, Manuel. Thank you, buddy, for the kind words. I'm glad we won you over. Look, the NBA has thrived without the Knicks, but it would be better if the Knicks were good. If the Knicks, by the way, not just the Knicks, if the Bulls were good too. You have two of the top three markets in the country, and they're terrible. I mean, they've been a joke for the most part. The Knicks for a lot longer than the Bulls, because at least the Bulls post Jordan had the Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, you know, Luol Deng teams that were good. But the Knicks, they haven't been good since Jeff Van Gundy left. Larry Brown came in and it was a disaster, and everybody else since has been a disaster. So the frozen envelope, David Stern, may he rest in peace, greatest commissioner ever. I mean, he denies it vehemently, but man, it is hard. It's one that's plausible, is what I'll say. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's when you watch it, I was watching something recently where they were doing like something about that moment. And, man, was it on NBA TV? I don't remember what the hell I was. Oh, the 30 for 30, love basketball, a love story. They had a whole episode on this. and David Stern was like, great. He's like, my initial thought was great. I'm a Knicks fan. I grew up a Knicks fan. Everyone knows that. And now everyone's going to assume that I did something that would be illegal in 50 states.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that I was going to ask you. Sorry, I got mixed up on something to do with this restream stuff. But keep going with what you were saying. I got lost.
Okay, so tell people what you're trying to do. We're trying to get the show up on a video platform, right? And you're trying to work that out.
Right, so we're trying to get the video up on a platform right now, and I'm talking to the help desk while talking to you on the air. So I got sidetracked by listening to Cynthia here telling me what did I need to do to get this to start working.
Well, you listen to Cynthia because we got to go to break. And
I do have good news for you, though. We can do it on the other side, but I have great news for you.
Okay, let's tease that. We have good news. Plus, we've got some other news on Cam Newton that I want to get to. Brian Windhorst is going to join us at 10:40. Please continue to send your sports urban legends that you wish were true at 877-710-ESPN, or you can tweet us at Sedano, or shoot me an Instagram message too at George Sedano ESPN. That's George with a J, like Jorge. So send them there, and we will try our best to get some new ones on the air, because there's some great ones. I just think it's funny. And all this was spawned off the urban legend that I heard third hand that Steve Ballmer allegedly wanted to, when they were trying to recruit Kevin Durant in 2016 free agency, wanted to back up the Brinks truck with real money, basically, to show him what it would look like. And then it was not allowed, is my understanding of it. But I just want it to be true. So we're doing that today just to have some fun, and we're hoping to provide an escape for you. So hopefully we are here for you in that regard, and please let us know how you're doing. Please continue to shout out local businesses as well that are open in your area serving goods. I want to talk about what you guys did for takeout yesterday. We'll get to all that stuff. Stick around. Sedano back in 4 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. Brian Windhorst going to join us in about 10 minutes. Bergman, before we continue with the urban legend stuff, one that got sent into us by Jay Mashburn, he says John Smoltz got injured ironing. Billy Corbin, the famous documentarian, tweets me and says they're all true. So we don't have to worry about continuing the discussion. But you said you had good news on the streaming front.
No, not on the streaming front. I just have good news in general, and I'm hoping that was Jamal Mashburn that was tweeting you as well from the Jay Mashburn.
No.
Hopefully. Maybe not. But the Rams, the NFL, and the LA United Way, they went over $2 million from the telethon that they did yesterday. Over $2 million.
The virtual telethon, right. Yes,
the virtual telethon. Yeah, they call it the Tell LA-thon.
Right.
But it's they raised over $2 million, and because of that, what's his name? Kevin Demoff is going to read mean tweets about the new logo rollout. Yeah, so I don't know when that's going to happen, but he's going to read some mean tweets about it, and over $2 million, so great job.
Awesome. Congrats to the Rams. Congrats to you guys for helping out. That was awesome. Like, I'm glad everybody helped out. I know that the Rams did a really good job. ABC7 did a really good job. Rob Fugazaki and that whole crew there did a fantastic job. I saw Rob doing his sports report from home yesterday with the little one. That was awesome to see, too, as I was watching TV. That was great. So shout out to Rob, doing his social distancing is the best he can.
When is Arya going to come running into your room?
So Mina Kimes actually tweeted me a couple days ago that she can't wait till my children come in and do the BBC baby thing. Do you remember the BBC babies?
Yeah, where they came in and he was just
right.
Like,
the guy was doing like a very serious political discussion, and all of a sudden, right, the older one comes in and she's kind of like flapping her arms, and then the little baby comes in the little wheel thing that allows them to move. Yeah, it was very, very strange.
I can't wait for that to happen.
Yeah, it will eventually. It will absolutely.
Hopefully, we're streamed by then.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. which, by the way, we are streaming, and I have a backdrop. It looks very professional. You can see it, does it not?
Yeah, it does. It's the ESPN backdrop, ESPN LA backdrops, 710 there. It looks great.
Yeah.
We just got to get it on the actual.
And the daybed that we also have in my office / guest room in here. So there's that behind me.
Right, but there's no more stuffed animals back there anymore.
Yeah, I took away the stuffed animals, plus my daughter probably wanted them anyway, so it was probably best that she had them. But anyhow, so are we any closer to streaming?
We're closer. I think I just lost the chat. No!
No!
Ah, where did it go?
Did you really?
I don't know.
Oh, Bergman, come on.
Yeah, well, she said I could move screens, and then I moved screens, and now it's gone.
It's got to be there somewhere, all right?
Yeah, I'll get it.
I mean, we're all counting on you, basically. The only way we can get this on the internet is with you.
You want
and by the way, all you other shows, Mason in Ireland, The Morning Show, I don't want you stealing our bit, you hear me? This is our bit. We're doing this, okay?
Yeah.
I'm warning you, all of you, including your producers.
Yeah, you know, once you do this, though, once we actually get it on there, you know Mason's going to be the first one. He's like,
Mason's going to be like, how come we can't get this on? Yeah, exactly. You know that's not going to last 2 seconds. But I'm telling you right now, this is our thing. Until we get it up first, you can't do it.
No. All right, tell me about the Laker-Clipper thing.
It's like a great day for Clipper fans, but it's a miserable day for Laker fans because every time – like, it's funny. So I saw, like, Om Yongmasook of ESPN tweeted out the news, right? And the mentions are great. Like, sometimes Twitter makes me laugh my ass off and makes me really happy. And sometimes it makes me profoundly sad. In this case, it made me happy to the point where I was laughing. Because just the combination of mentions in Om's Twitter was, yeah, this is awesome. This is the best. And a lot of, I just wish you'd move to Seattle.
I mean, yeah, move to Seattle. I'm not seeing what the issue in any of this is. They should 100% move to Seattle. I understand it's not going to happen. I understand.
Well, it's definitely not happening now. He bought the Forum. Like, that's not happening.
I know. But, well, I mean, look, you can still own real estate here in LA and move your team to Seattle. They're totally separate. Owning the Forum doesn't exclude
Bergman.
You from
he's
moving.
Not buying he's not spending $400 million on a building down the street if he's not building the new building.
We just went through this. He can just spend $400 million like it's absolutely nothing.
I get it, but even but even rich people aren't just blowing up $400 million, okay?
Yeah, right. But yes, it is a very sad day. I mean, like, this is what I grew up with. I grew up with the Forum,
right?
I went there. I watched Laker games. I watched Kings games there. That was Showtime Lakers. And then to now to be owned by Steve Ballmer, and then him going to, is he going to tear it down? Is he going to just build around it?
I don't think so. I don't think that he's going to tear it. It doesn't seem like they, I mean, the report said they were going to keep it as a venue, a music venue. So let's go to the phones.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it is. It's a great acoustics. I mean, I'll give James Dolan credit for that. Let's go to KJ in LA. What's up, KJ?
Hey, George, how you doing today?
I'm good, sir. How are you? Are you okay? You healthy?
Oh, yeah. I'm like Tony the Tiger. I'm just great.
Okay, good.
Hey, I have a solution to this and a positive method to this madness. The FDA just came out the other day and said they have a coronavirus test that you can test and take the test and get results in 45 minutes. So why not have Adam Silver request all the owners, their staff, their players, their coaches to get this test since it's from the FDA, and once everybody passed, resume play without the audience or without the crowd?
I don't know. Let me see. FDA okays first rapid coronavirus test. I'm seeing it here. Well, look, I'm pretty sure that some of these private labs that they've used, for example, like when the Utah Jazz were stuck in OKC, I mean, they had to stay there for 4 hours, but they got the test results that day. You know what I mean? So I think that what's happening right now is that they already put teams in quarantine, KJ. So because of that, they have to wait that out. But I do think that that is part of maybe what Mark Cuban was talking about yesterday. And thank you for the call as to why he believes that teams may get back, you know, by May or June. So, and we'll talk to Windhorst about that in a couple of moments. So look, Zach, I know you're there. David, I know you're there. We'll get to you here in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk to Brian Windhorst about the state of the NBA. He's not as optimistic as Mark Cuban. We'll talk to him about what KJ just brought up. And we'll ask him about his urban legend that he wishes was true. So all that with Windhorst. Stick around. 877-710-ESPN if you want to hop aboard. Tweet us as well, at Sedano. Sedano Show, 710-ESPN. Back in three. Sedano Show with you here, 710-ESPN. Brian Windhorst going to join us here in just... If you missed any of our interviews, or let's say you missed Brian, you got to run for some reason, you shouldn't, you should be listening. Or Jeff Passan, who's coming up at 11. Maybe you missed Gilbert Arenas the other day. Feel free to go back to our interview on demand section in our Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? And this segment brought to you by our friends at LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports. Brian Windhorst giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Brian, I would imagine and hopeful that you and yours are all safe and sound. Yes?
Yes, for the time being, which is all we can ask for.
Yep, for sure. We have tried to provide an escape here on the show and not be as serious. So today we stumbled upon something. So we were talking about the Steve Ballmer purchase of the Forum and, you know, spending $400 million to crush Laker fans' dreams, basically, and their and all their memories. But it made me think of something that I was told third hand. So I've said this repeatedly now for the aggregators not to aggregate me because it's third hand. It's an urban legend. But I want it to be true. And I had heard that. And so you don't have to answer whether you know it's true or not. It's up to you. But I had heard that during 2016 free agency that Steve Ballmer, when he wanted to meet with Kevin Durant, basically wanted to bring the full max in the in actual cash to show him what it would look like, and was told he couldn't do that. But I want that story to be true, which led me into an urban legend sports discussion. Do you want that story to be true?
I have heard that story as well. I do not know if it is true. I don't even know if you can acquire that much cash. I'm not saying the Ballmer doesn't have it. I don't know if you actually can physically acquire it. I mean, if he has it, and it's his money, and he doesn't mind taking the risk of bringing it into the open, it can be done. I just don't know if there's that much cash in the L.A. basin, an actual currency. But one of my favorite things from the Ramona Shelburne 30 for 30 on the Sterling tapes there was a story in there about when Ballmer met with Donald Sterling. They did meet face-to-face one time before closing the transaction. And Sterling said to him, do you really have $2 billion in cash? And Ballmer said, yes, I do. And it blew Sterling's mind because he had been a guy who had always reinvested his money immediately into buildings. But I also like the story that Shelley Sterling told about the negotiation. I mean, I don't know how fast it actually was, but it sounded like it was basically in one or two conversations. She said she wanted $2 billion. He made some offer, like a cursory offer, like if you were buying a car and you offer below the asking price just to do it. You know, he said, no, 1.8. And she said, no, 2. And he was like, okay. I mean, I'm simplifying it to a certain extent, but I think it was kind of like that. He just was willing to pay whatever the price was. And when you have billions of dollars, you know, liquid, you can do whatever you want. And, you know, I heard a story that he offered to buy the Forum a couple of years ago when this first started, for a lot less money than the $400 million. And Jim Dolan's maneuvers, legal and otherwise, probably got him a historic price, an incredible price for the Forum, way more than he had into it probably. But that said, at the end of the day, Steve Ballmer, even in today's economy, $400 million to him is not a significant part of his net worth. And maybe he negotiated because he didn't want to pay $275 or $315 or whatever, but there's something to be said for having liquidity.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I mean, he's worth $58 billion last I checked. So, yeah, you're right. $400 million.
We were joking that after the last 2 weeks, but I think he's
right. Right. Well, we were joking that he probably just, you know, I wonder if he pulls up to the ATM. You know what I'm saying? Be like, the $400 million. I'll get it for you. No big deal. Yeah, it's just wild. Which other great sports urban legend do you wish was true, though? It can be any sport.
I'm not ready for this question. I mean, I'm sure I have some that aren't at the front of my mind, but...
Well, I'll give you some. Just tell me, we'll play a game. Urban legend Wade Boggs, Hall of Famer, allegedly drank 64 Miller Lights on a cross-country flight. Do you want that to be true?
I don't know. The number has changed over the years, but yes, I've heard that. Now, the one NBA story, and I've never... Damon Jones is our coworker. I've never asked him to verify this story. But the story goes that when Damon was playing with Shaquille O'Neal, when they were with the Heat, that they had a poker game or a card game one day after shoot-around. And I don't know the exact number, so I'm just going to say right off the bat, I don't know. I'm making the numbers up, but I remember this the general part of the story. And Shaq lost money to Damon in the card game, like $1,500 or $1,700 or something like that. And he said, hey, tonight, just speak to Jerome. You know who Jerome was. Jerome, yeah. Shaquille's, I don't even know what you call him, bodyguard, assistant, confidant, Uncle Jerome, right. who was a police officer in Newark, who he was, I don't know if he's really related to him, but Jerome was always with Shaquille. To this day, he's with Shaquille. He said, hey, let Jerome know tonight what I owe you, and he'll take care of you. So that night before the game, Jerome came up to Damon and said, hey, Shaq said he owes you some money. How much? And Damon says, yeah, 17, meaning, you know, 1,700. And Jerome says, okay. And Jerome goes away. I don't know where he went. And he comes back with 17,000. And I don't know if it was 17,000, if it was 28,000, if it was whatever it was some obscene amount of cash that Jerome just produced, not at Shaq's house, like just wherever Shaq kept it. And I love that story. I hope it's somewhat true. I've got to get that nailed down. But number one, the concept that the cash was just produced from wherever right. It was kept. And secondly, that Jerome didn't question it. He like, 17. He didn't say 1,700. He just assumed 1,000.
Right.
I love those two parts of the story. I hope it's true. Who knows?
Brian Windhorst joining us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Yeah, that is fantastic. I've heard that one too, but I don't remember the numbers, but I remember hearing the story.
I don't know the numbers either, but it was some obscene amount of money that was produced in a drop of a hat.
Yeah. It's pretty. Those card games, that needs to be a 30 for 30, the card games in the NBA someday. But anyway, let's talk about the NBA. Mark Cuban believes if he was a betting man, speaking of betting, that he would bet the under of June 1st that we would return to games. I feel like that's overly optimistic. However, he is probably armed with more information than I am. You, though, are armed with as much information as almost anyone in this league. How do you feel about his optimism?
Well, we were having fun telling stories. You had to bring me down with reality. I know that comparing the NBA to the leagues in Asia is not an apples-to-apples comparison. I understand that. But as those countries are trying to get back on their feet from this terrible virus, looking at what their sports leagues do is relevant. And it has not been a good week for the basketball leagues in Japan, South Korea, and China, specifically China. Japan tried to bring their sports league back. A couple of people involved in the games had a high fever, and they immediately shut it down without ever finishing a game. South Korea was scheduled to start its restarted season after a month off this weekend. Because of concern about keeping players healthy, they've decided instead to cancel it. The Chinese League, which is a really relevant comparison, they have 20 different teams spread out all over the country. They pay their players millions of dollars. It is a comparable league to the NBA, not in quality, but certainly in logistics and function. They intended to start April 15th after many delays. They called the American players. There's over 20 American players in China right now who flew back to complete the season, who are in quarantine for 14 days to try to play. They were all set to go April 15th, and today they delayed until early to mid-May at the earliest. That means that the Chinese league will have been idled for 4 months. And, you know, obviously the NBA went down about the second week of March, so you can do the math there. I hope Mark Cuban is right, but I'm not optimistic seeing what's going on in Asia. The thing I will say that the Chinese are trying to do, George, and that I think is probably what the NBA is going to be faced, obviously they're going to play without fans, but they can't get all of those markets. They don't feel good about all those markets. So they are focusing on a couple of cities where they want to bring the teams to play the games. And I think that's going to be the NBA's challenge. I think they're going to be looked at building a bubble that they can get players and coaches and trainers and referees and people to run and film the games comfortable and healthy and keep them comfortable and healthy. And I don't think that necessarily is going to be in an NBA city or in a big city. It could be anywhere. They could take over a college campus somewhere. I know that's not what they want. What they want is to travel around and be at their facilities and play in front of their fans. But my guess is that's not going to be feasible in the short term.
Brian Windhorst with us here. Yeah, I don't think playing in front of fans, I don't believe is going to happen this season. You know, I had heard and we chatted, Tim Bontemps and I, about maybe practice facilities and things of that nature. But your idea makes a lot of sense, is finding a place to basically, you know, be protected, right? Be in this bubble and allow the games to be played in these particular areas. Now, maybe you pick a couple of different places, potentially, but in theory, you would want one place, right, to be able to house everyone and at least be able to test everyone as often as you can. That way you don't have these issues. I know the FDA, it was a story today about tests that are coming out that have quicker turnaround time as far as the results. I mean, we know that the private labs have done that. I mean, going back to the Utah Jazz, right, in Oklahoma City, they got those results, I believe, in 4 hours or so. So, yeah, I just think that these unprecedented situations are going to cause us to have unprecedented measures. But it seems to me, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, Brian, that the NBA, you know, and I know Adam said this to Rachel, that, you know, he's not there yet about thinking about canceling the season, but they seem fairly adamant in trying to play this out no matter how long it takes. Is that fair?
For sure. Also, they have a long runway here. I mean, who knows? But I think it's pretty possible they could play games into September. And if the NFL season gets delayed at all, that would give them even additional runway, even to push it to late September, maybe October. And yes, that would screw up next season, of course. But you make the adjustments as you can. So when it comes to making a decision on the fate of the season, I don't think they're anywhere close to that decision. I think they're 2-3 months away from deciding on that, maybe more. And in the interim, you try to figure out your logistics. You see what happens with the Chinese. I think the Chinese, the pilot program that they have is very comparable. And you hope that in our country, the populace can get past this, that the measures work and the virus is slowed down so that it could even become a possibility. I don't think there's other options really out there.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, joining us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. All right, listen, next time I bring you on, I'm going to try my best to just keep it on the light and fluffy channel. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, we'll talk about LeBron's greatest games. That's always a fun topic.
LeBron's greatest games, his Instagram live posts. We didn't even get into that. The stuff about, we could do it if you have a minute. People are questioning the veracity of or the validity of what he said on Instagram Live about Pat Riley breaking up that team had they lost that game in Boston. I mean, I'm very confident in believing that that was going to be the case, that LeBron was absolutely right. You were there, too. Do you feel the same way I do?
I think there was a decent chance that Chris Bosh would have been traded because Bosh got blamed for everything. Also, you don't trade LeBron. He was in his prime MVP.
Yeah.
So, I think there's a possibility that would have happened. What ended up happening, though, was they ended up making Bosh into a center, and they became a team that won. They signed Ray Allen and won 27 consecutive games the next season. But it's a reminder of how fragile the NBA game is, how big, giant plans can happen, and then one thing can turn everything. Like, look, what if the Warriors had won? Does Durant go there? I mean, that's one of the biggest what-ifs of the last 50 years in the NBA. What would have happened if things went different with Kawhi last summer? What if, he had stayed in Toronto or something? I mean, there's a dozens of different things that could happen like that. And that's how fragile. So LeBron ends up playing, in my mind, his greatest game. The Heat stay together, win two titles. Had they lost, had LeBron started 3 of 11 instead of 10 of 11, who knows where the world would be.
Brian Windhorst, you're the best, brother. Thank you so much. Stay healthy, safe, and sound, you and yours, and we'll talk soon.
Take care, George.
See ya. There he is, Brian Windhorst. Coming up next, what's going on in Major League Baseball? There's a lot to update you on, and Jeff Passan has the latest. He joins us in 4 minutes. Stick around.